Welcome to the 24/7 Church Podcast. This week, Pastor Josh talks about how to live in God's love. We hope that the following message blesses you and your family. Enjoy.
Thankful for what God is doing. So we're going to get started with the message this morning. But Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for your presence that is here. And I thank you for all that you're doing. I ask, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts today. Lord, that you would allow us to hear from you. Lord, that we would receive of your hand. In Jesus' name, amen. I promise that my message is going to be short this morning. I planned that way on purpose because I knew we were going to be limited on time. So I won't keep you here past 3, I promise. Kids are having a blast anyway. It's fine. Mark chapter 12, verse 29 through 31. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. It's here on the screen. Jesus replied, "The most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord. And you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength." Now, I know my wife is already looking at that picture, and she's imagining herself there. Hopefully, I'm with you. I hope that's the case. Yeah. Last week, we learned that these four, heart, soul, mind, and strength, are sequential and in order as they were meant to be. I can't begin to truly love God with all of my mind and strength until I have learned to love him with all of my heart and soul. The word heart in Greek, we talked about this last week. We're doing a quick review. And if you missed last week's message, I would encourage you to go back and listen to it. Too much to be able to try to get into today, but we're going to just touch a little bit just to be able to set the stage for this next part that we're going to be getting into. But last week we learned that the word for heart in Greek refers to our core. It's our subconscious or our spirit. It is the place of belief and conviction. It is the place of faith completely separate from our mind. I know that's hard to comprehend because it's separate from our mind. It is believing without seeing. It is knowing without understanding. We looked at the hieroglyph in Hebrew for the word heart, and we saw that the letters represented a shepherd's staff and a home or a dwelling place. Literally, those were the letters that are used in the word heart for Hebrew. And so we understand that we can look at this picture and we can see that God was trying to communicate that our heart is literally to be the place where Jesus, the Good Shepherd, dwells. It's the dwelling place for the Good Shepherd. Loving the Lord with all of our heart is making our heart heaven's throne. It is putting all of our faith and our trust in Jesus. It is believing that God alone is God. God is Father, and God is good. We must believe at our core that this is absolutely true without any doubts and without understanding. We must simply believe with faith like a child. We read in Luke chapter 18, 17, he said, "Surely I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." This is loving God with all your heart. If we are to live in love, we must love God with all of our heart. Do you think that the children that came and gave their heart to Jesus had the time to be able to read through the entire Bible and reach some kind of a logical conclusion as to the fact that Jesus is the person that he said he was, and therefore, because they could look at all of the historical documentation and determine that this was the right judgment and decision, that they should give their heart to Jesus? Do you think that's how that happened? No, they just knew in their heart, this is right. This is right. God is calling me, and this is what it needs to be, and I give my heart to Jesus. Faith like a child. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart. If we are to live in love, we must love God with all of our heart. Love the Lord your God with all of your soul. We saw that the Greek word for soul is ateo, to seek, to desire, to seek, to desire. Now, I know that this is a difficult one for a lot of Christians because we have a tendency to think, well, we can stand in the stadiums and we can scream our heart out for our favorite team. You know, we can cheer, we can shout, and we can dance, and we can have a good time, and we can love our life partner. We can be with our bride or with our husband, and we can sing all kinds of love songs to them, you know, and talk about all of these things and read poetry and be moved with passion for these things. But then for some reason, when it comes to God, it's like, I can't lift my hands. I can't move. I have to stand here in holy reverence and awe and allow God to be God. And I'm here. And this is, God says, love me with all your soul. Seek me. Desire me. Loving God with all of your soul is worshiping God with all of your soul. It's referring to desiring God with all of your being. It is this hunger, this burning desire. It's this passionate pursuit of the presence of God. All of your will, all of your emotions, all of your passion is focused on seeking out and knowing the love of the Father. You know the psalm, as the deer longs for water, so my soul longs for you. Apostle Paul said, I want to know Christ even as I am known. Loving God with all of my soul is making God the object of my affection and the pursuit of my passion. It is fully engaging all of my will and all of my emotions in holy adoration and devotion. After God led the children of Israel through the Red Sea and destroyed Pharaoh and his armies in the sea, Moses and all of the children of Israel, they were so overwhelmed with emotion that they broke out in song with jubilation. And then suddenly Miriam began to dance before the Lord with all of these other young ladies and men. They began to dance before the Lord because they were so overwhelmed with emotion, with passion, with desire of gratitude, of thanking God for his deliverance. When David brought the Ark of the Covenant up to the tabernacle of God, up to Jerusalem, we know that he was overcome with emotion and he began to dance before the Ark of the Covenant as they walked in procession through the streets. And it says he danced so violently that his clothes fell off. I don't know about you, but that's some pretty violent dancing. David's wife was so embarrassed that by what he had done that when he got home, she scolded him. She told him, you humiliated me out there. You humiliated me. Your behavior was not kingly. I want you to see what David's response was to her in 2 Samuel chapter 6. I like it whenever the Bible shows us that couples can have arguments and work through it. It's real. So 2 Samuel chapter 6, 21 to 22 says, so David said to Michal, it was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father and all his house. Oh, he threw a little jab in there, didn't he? To appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will play music before the Lord and I will even be more, what? Undignified than this and will be humble in my own sight. Now, please understand what I'm saying. Keep your clothes on. But the point is that loving God with all of your soul is pouring out all of your passion upon him. I don't care what other people think about me. I'm in love with Jesus. When you are in love with Jesus, Listen to me. When you're in love with Jesus, people are going to judge you. People will judge you. Don't let that stop you from expressing your love to him, because he's worth it. He is worth it. I think about the story of the woman. In the New Testament, Jesus was sitting at dinner, and here comes this woman into the room. And the Bible talks about how she was well known throughout the community as a sinner. Well known throughout the community as a sinner. I don't know what that means exactly. It doesn't tell us exactly, but I can imagine. If you're well known throughout the community as a sinner. She comes into the room and she's standing behind Jesus and she begins to weep. She begins to weep. And it wasn't just, you know, these quiet little tears. I mean, there was water pouring out of her eyes to the point that it was so much that it said that it was washing the feet of Jesus with her tears. And then she began to dry his feet with her hair. It said she couldn't stop kissing his feet, and she had brought an expensive bottle of ointment, and she poured it out all over the feet of Jesus. The people there didn't understand. They could not begin to fathom what was happening, and they began to be judgmental and thought to themselves, if he knew the kind of woman that was touching him, he would not be letting her touch him. Jesus said, this woman understands because she's been forgiven of much, and therefore she loves much. Each and every one of us has been forgiven of much, of much. How do we express our worship? How do we express our love? Loving God with all of your soul is the shameless, reckless abandon. It is being crazy in love with Jesus and not caring what the world or anyone else thinks. Making Jesus the object of your affection and the pursuit of your passion is complete, reckless abandon in worship and adoration of the King. It is about being open and vulnerable in his presence and letting his love overwhelm you. Loving God with all of your soul is staying hungry for his presence and wanting him more. It's about always wanting to be with him, never wanting to be without him. It's about always wanting to bring a smile to his face and living to please him. The only other way that I know to describe this to you or to explain this to you is to say that loving God with all of your soul is really being in love with Jesus. If you've ever really been in love, you understand what I mean. It's what it is. It's being in love with Jesus. He's the lover of my soul. Loving God with all of your heart is believing with childlike faith. It's making your heart heaven's home by placing Jesus on the throne of your life and keeping him there. And he says, love the Lord your God with all of your mind. With all of your mind. We saw how the Greek word for mind is dianoia. It means with understanding. With understanding. Loving the Lord your God with understanding. Before I can truly love God with understanding, listen. Before I can truly love God with understanding, he must be the King of my heart and the lover of my soul. Before I can learn to love God with understanding, he must first be the King of my heart and the lover of my soul. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says this: "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So what does it mean to love God with all of my mind? Loving God with all of my mind is the process of his thoughts, the process of his thoughts becoming my thoughts. Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own what?" Isaiah 55, 8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord." Ephesians 3:19 says, "To know the love of Christ, which passes what? Knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." My ability to have the mind of Christ, my ability to discern God's good and pleasing and perfect will is directly determined by my worship of him. Loving the Lord with understanding is coming to know him. Coming to know him. Not the kind of knowing that comes from reading books. It is not the kind of knowing that comes from reading books. It is the kind of knowing that comes from living in love with Jesus. Have you ever said, "I really love being with fill in the blank because they really know me? They get me. They understand me." You know, Jen and I, we are almost 20 years now. This January will be 20 years of us being married. And she knows me. She understands me. We can communicate without words. Y'all understand what I'm saying? We can communicate without words. She knows my thoughts. She knows my actions. She knows my reactions. She knows my expressions. I hate that. She can finish my sentences. She knows what I like and what I don't like. She knows when I need time with her and when I need time by myself. She gets me. She understands me. Before we were married, Jenna thought that she loved me. Right, honey? Yeah. But now that we've lived in love for almost 20 years, she knows me, and she still loves me. Right? Yeah, okay, all right. Okay. She may not know this, but I know now she loves me even more because she loves me with understanding. She knows me and she still loves me. You see, loving God with your mind, with understanding, is knowing his character, his attributes. Knowing his heart. You know, in the Bible, we read stories, and I think about David. And when I read the life of David, I go, man, that guy got away with so much. I sit there and I go, how in the world? I mean, how did he get away with all of the things that he got away doing? David got away with things that no one else could because he understood things about God that no one else knew. He was the one that introduced God as shepherd. He killed a giant with a slingshot. He ate the holy bread out of the temple. I don't know if y'all know this, but whenever he set up the tabernacle, he took the veil down between the holy place and the Holy of Holies. He took it down because he wanted to gaze upon the beauty of his holiness as he worshiped him. He didn't want anything to separate him and God. And you would sit there and think, wait a minute, he's breaking all the rules. He's not doing it the way that he's supposed to be done. But he understood something about the heart of God, that God wanted to be with his people. God wanted to love his people. He wanted his people to love him. He knew that God was gracious and compassionate. Listen to some of the insights that he wrote about God that he should have never known. Psalm 32, verse 1 and 2 says, blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against him. Look at Psalm 86, verse 5. It says, for you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive, and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. Wait a minute. Where does it say I have to go sacrifice an animal so that God will forgive me? That's not what he said there. Psalm 103, 2, 3, and 10 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities. Say, all your iniquities. He heals all your disease. He has not dealt with us. Listen, he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. David wrote this before Jesus ever came. David lived on a whole other level with God because he lived in love. He knew God. He loved God with understanding, with his mind, because God was the king of his heart and the lover of his soul. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. I think about Moses. Here's another anomaly for me. He's the only one in the Bible that is recorded, it says in history, that ever stood face to face with God and spoke to him as one man speaks with a friend. Here's the one that did things that are mind-boggling. I mean, he parted the Red Sea. He did so many miracles, signs and wonders. He even had conversations with God that I read and I go, where do you get the nerve to talk to God like that? What were you thinking, Moses? But he could have those kinds of conversations with God because he knew God. He did things that no one else had done because he loved God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. Next week, we'll be talking about loving God with all of our strength. But today I want us to begin the journey of loving God with all of our mind. Let's begin to seek to know Jesus. Not to know him, but to really know him. I want to hear Jesus say, I love spending time with you because you get me. You know me. You understand me. How do I come to know Christ? How do I have the mind of Christ? How do I get to the place where I can love God with understanding? You will only come to truly know Jesus when you allow yourself to fully be known by him. I'm letting you take a minute to really think about that. You'll only come to really know Jesus when you allow yourself to be fully known by him. It's only through my trials, my testings, my pain, my suffering, my fears, my sorrows. It's in the midst of my grief and my shame, my doubt, my frustration. It's in the middle of my loneliness and my confusion and my chaos. It is in the middle of the filthy, broken mess of my life that I come to understand the love of God. Does that make sense? When I allow myself to be fully known by Jesus, I come to understand the depth of his love for me. Then and only then can I begin to love God with understanding, with all of my mind. Psalm 139 says this, "Search me, O God. Search me, O God." Say, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my" what? "My anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life." Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then, you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You'll have the mind of Christ. You will understand. You will love God with understanding when you let him know you. Ephesians 3, 17, 19 says, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all of the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God." Monumental love. That's, we could have called it that. Loving God with all of your mind is coming to understand who God really is. As we're coming to a close, I'm going to invite the praise team to come up. The only way to really understand him is to live your life in love with Jesus. The only way to really understand him is to live your life in love with Jesus. The way that all of this begins is by giving him your heart. Is Jesus the king of your heart? Is he the king of your heart? Is he in control of your life? Ask yourself, I'm not talking about a one-time prayer. Is Jesus the king of your heart? Then ask yourself, is Jesus the lover of my soul? Is all of my affection, all of my passion, do I live my life in pursuit of his love? Do I pursue him with all of my passion? Now ask yourself this question. Is Jesus the author of my understanding? Is Jesus the author of my understanding? Is he the one that initiates my thoughts? Is he the one that initiates my ability to understand. Does my understanding come from him? Or is there another source? Is he the author of my understanding? I want to know him even as I am known. Don't let this moment slip away. Live in love. Every head bowed and every eye closed. No one's looking around. I want you to know that Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. And his love is greater. Here's the truth. He already knows everything about you. And he still loves you. Would you stop running? Would you stop hiding? Would you stop looking elsewhere for love? Would you understand that he wants you to discover how deep, how wide, how rich, how high is his love? But it starts with placing Jesus on the throne of your heart. If you have never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want to give you that opportunity right now. He wants to dwell in your heart. He wants to be the shepherd of your life. Would you give your heart to Jesus today and begin the journey of living in love? If you have never made Jesus the Lord of your life and you would like to give your heart to Jesus today, we're going to say a simple prayer together, but I want to agree with you in that prayer. So would you just, right where you are, no one's looking around, would you just slip your hand up right now and say, I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. I want to pray that prayer. I see that hand. See that hand. I see that hand. Is there anyone else? Anyone else? For those of you who are with us online, if you are raising your hand right now, I want you to join us in this prayer. I want everyone to pray this together. You can put your hands down. Would you just all stand to your feet? Let's pray this together. Say, dear Jesus, I recognize that I'm broken, but I give you all of me. And I thank you that your love is bigger. Your love is greater. Thank you for forgiving my sin. From this day forward, I open my heart and I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I place my faith in you. I place my trust in you. And I choose to receive your love. From this day forward, I am choosing to live in love with you, Jesus. Thank you that you take my life and that you make me new. I receive you as my Father. And I thank you that you accept me as your child. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope that you are blessed by this message and thank you for listening. Don't forget to follow us on all of our social media platforms, including Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at My247Church. Remember, be the church 24/7.